Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Julia Sahivian, broadcasting from Halifax, Nova Scotia, Calapa. And welcome to the very first show of
Dispatches.
It is my pleasure to introduce to you our first guest, also the originator of this entire radio show idea, which is Walter Fordham.
Hi.
How are you? How are you, Walter? How are you?
I'm good, Julia. How are you?
Good. Thank you very much for inviting me to host this show.
Well, you're very welcome, and thank you, because I can't think of a better person to be hosting these interviews than Julia Sahivian.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to begin the show by asking you a little bit about the Chronicles and a little bit about where this idea of having a show came from.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Chronicles in general, as many people may already know, is a oral history project, and it's also becoming more and more of a celebration of his life, who he was. I suppose that the general banner of the Chronicles is appreciating, celebrating, and understanding more about his life. Who was this man, and what was our training with him? At one point, while he was alive, at many points while he was alive, he said to many different people that he wanted a record of his life made. And what he said to me at one point directly was, "I want people to know how we lived." So that's really sort of the seed syllable of what the Chronicles is all about, is trying to fulfill that request from him, that people know how he lived, who he was.
And in that sense, how do you think that what we're doing here today and what we're trying to do with these various radio interviews are ways not just of talking about how we live, but how we are living and mm-hmm. how we may live, and using the most broadest definition of who we might be?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's interesting. In the course of doing this work, I travel around and I interview people. I sit down in people's living rooms all over the place. I show up with my recorder and I interview people about what they did and what they remembered from 20 or 25 or 20, 30 years ago. And I began to get very interested in sort of who we are now and how that's inspired by who we were and who he is, and what our training was. So I really got this bug of wanting to have a series of interviews that would be really kind of on the spot, where the kind of interviews that I've done have been more kind of probing, research sort of interviews, more archival than kind of radio material. But I wanted to have a series of interviews where we could ask ourselves, sort of who we are, and what are we doing, and how that ties to our upbringing.
Mm-hmm. And as you know, Walter, in some of the few times you and I talked about the possibility of how this show would go and who we would interview and so on, we talked about a number of things, but the main key phrase that came to us was the notion of service.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked a little bit about Trungpa, mm-hmm. and Trung meaning service. Mm-hmm. And we also talked about the old saying we used to have to about being in His Majesty's service.
Right.
Can you talk a little bit about those two phrases, being a Trungpa and being in His Majesty's service, and mm-hmm. how this show may bring that about?
Yeah. Yeah, well, the word Trung in Tibetan means attendant or service, and the first Trungpa was an attendant to his teacher. And that was very much a part of my training in terms of the court, other people who served there. And it was really a tone of the entire mandala, I think, during his lifetime, was a sense that everybody, whether they were serving as government officials or through their practice or whatever, there was a notion that the path of being a student of Trungpa Rinpoche's, or perhaps the path of being a Buddhist at all, is a path of service for others in the broadest sense. So we were well trained in service, and that was sort of our kind of seat syllable as students of Trungpa Rinpoche. Mm-hmm. Was we were trained in service. So I think this really came from you, Julio, was the notion of how is that service manifesting now in all of us?
Mm-hmm. In terms of how the service is manifesting now and how we may actually talk about our past experience with Trungpa Rinpoche and our present and future experience with Trungpa Rinpoche, what kinds of things do you think would be relevant to the broader audience of the Chronicles, not just the old dogs, so to speak, mm-hmm. but perhaps some of the newer listeners mm-hmm. of the show?
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see how it comes out. But what I'm imagining, what I'm hoping comes out, is that we are sort of living relics of his teaching career. And I think that, you know, as a group, we're sort of an interesting, you know, cross-section or an interesting sort of mix or collage of energies and people. And we don't really have, we've never really had a sort of, there's never been a debriefing. There was never a time where we all got together and said, "What happened?" And there never will be, you know, it's not going to happen. But, you know, this little, I hope this little radio show is somewhat like a debriefing, you know, sort of, you know, what happened and where are we now and where are we going? And of course, Trungpa Rinpoche's legacy is going to go on far beyond us. And the people who see themselves as being people in his service are people who never met him and people who haven't been born yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to go on for, you know, for generations, as the lives of many great, you know, Mahasiddhas. So this is just kind of the beginning, sort of the first wave of people who are in his service or kind of passing the crest of middle age and going on to the great oblivion or not.
to the next time you get to serve.
The next time you get to serve, that's right. Yeah.
It's interesting because, as you know, we the kind of auspicious coincidence of when you first came to talk to me about the show and where I had just been, and interestingly enough, the first person we're going to actually interview, not that we're going to have the interviews in that order, is Steve Seeley.
Mm-hmm.
And both he and I were at the Dalai Lama's Dharma in the Americas conference. I believe it was in 2004. And what came to me very, very clearly at that conference, as I saw the older students of Trungpa Rinpoche being, many of them, the main students of other teachers in North America, and also some of the older students of Trungpa Rinpoche obviously being some of the main students of Sakya Nipon Rinpoche,
mm-hmm.
that we carry a very important legacy that is not just a matter of serving small Shambhala, but what I call a larger Shambhala, which is the establishment of a world that actually carries through the message of Vajrayana in the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very inspiring to see Trungpa Rinpoche students representing Pumla Rinpoche, or Trungpa Rinpoche students representing Tenzin Wangyal and others.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things you and I have talked about in terms of creating a series of interviews is that we want to interview people doing all sorts of things and doing
right.
working with Sakya Nipon Rinpoche, working with other teachers, working very much in the secular world, trying to bring about Trungpa Rinpoche's vision.
Mm-hmm.
Can you share with me and with the listeners what kinds of people do you see interviewing? What kinds of things? Who do you want to talk to? Who should we talk to?
Well, that's a good question. We should talk to all the crazy people that we know.
Goodness. How long did we have for this show?
It'll take years and years. Well, I think it'd be great, and this was your inspiration, is to talk to some of the prominent students of other teachers, and there's lots of them, lots of other teachers and lots of prominent students, and also talk to some of the students of Trungpa Rinpoche who are teachers in their own right at this point. within Shabbat International and beyond Shabbat International. And I think everyone's story is an interesting story. It could be someone who's a great yogini, or someone who's a business person.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's reminding me of some of the things that you said, that in some ways we have done a very good job of talking about the teacher. Mm-hmm. We have actually gathered the teachings, and in some ways what we're doing is we're talking about an oral history of the Sangha, but not necessarily based on the past, but based on the continuity of service, mm-hmm. from the view of service and continuing serving Chogyam Trungpa today. Do you want to talk a little bit about the sense of Sangha and building a big Vajra Mandala by talking about the various points that each of us may have actually gotten, if any?
Well, as you look back at this, you know, and after another 10 or 20 interviews and see, you know, what's coming about. But the direction that I hope things go in is that we really kind of polish the third jewel, the Sangha, polish it up and have a good look at what the Sangha is, particularly the Sangha of Trungpa Rinpoche students, and how they're expanding or not, you know, his teachings into other sanghas, other students, other realms of activity. I mean, Trungpa Rinpoche's life was not purely a Buddhist teacher. He had influence on lots of areas, so it'd be great if we could find, you know, artists who are influenced by him, or psychologists who are influenced by him.
Excellent.
To take it as far as we can.
Excellent. Well, Walter, I want to thank you for having served Trungpa Rinpoche as well as you served them, because I'm sure you made him very happy and took very good care of him for the sake of all of us. And thank you very much for your inspiration and all your hard work in running the Chronicles Project. And I also want to thank your wife, Joanne, who has very, very loyally served the family, not only the Mukpa family, but the Fordham family and the Chronicles Project. And thank you very much for this great opportunity for all of us to continue our service.